Channel 211 beginning the visit with Fanny and Shug and Mamoo this Friday after supper, the 31st of January, 75. Their first session here, their first time here. They got out of the car and we ate and had this long session this Friday after supper, the 31st of January, 75. Channel 211, beginning of the long visit with Shug and Fanny and Mamoo this Friday after supper, the 31st of January, 75.
Charged very much for the basement. I would have had to cleaned it up and fixed it up. And so she said, if you'd pay me for it, I feel like I'd have to put a meal on the table and really, do that. And she said, I don't want to do that, and Russell wouldn't let me. So she never knows from meal to meal how many she's going to feed, what she's going to have, and she can't make a big to-do about it. She's the most frustrated woman I've ever saw in my life.
Well, I would be too.
Well, I would be too. I just don't know how she don't lose her mind.
You know, I just got one little handout. And that was the day I worked a half a day putting in the head.
And tell Fanny what you got. I know what you got. And I told her. I said,
he didn't eat at my house. He didn't eat out there. He just ate it.
He said something the other day.
I was out there another time and I was sort of hungry. I kept thinking, well, maybe we'll bring on a little food.
I did not have anything to eat since breakfast. And he was, he ate so much at night and the dinner at your home.
Well.
And I've been used to eating over there with Hurley all that poison.
Finally got to you too, didn't he? Well, she said the other day something about him. I said, well, my goodness, that she was regretting that she hadn't had you all wrapped or something. I said, my Lord, you guy was out there at your house all the time. You
didn't
you
get a thing.
I said, and you fed him for a week. She says, oh, no, I didn't. So she did it deliberately. She said, I just didn't pay a bit of attention to him. She said, I didn't do a thing for him. She said, I didn't feed him a thing. So I just really
said, we just enjoyed him. We really enjoyed him.
Hell, I understand him.
We really enjoyed him.
Didn't understand what he said, but...
I didn't say anything he couldn't understand.
Said, Russell just would nod his head, and when he leave, he said, you know, he's the most intelligent man I ever saw. I didn't understand a word in the word he said. He said, Russell, you know he's just a far better. He didn't just know what he was talking about. Look on Russell, you follow, you know what I mean. Russell,
that's got no resemblance to the truth.
I wonder what you were saying.
This is pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you what.
For a chocolate cake.
I'll tell you, it was. And I didn't get that about you.
But.
Over there. He can't go in the apartment?
He's enjoined. He's enjoined from the apartment that he had and from living in a new one that he might go into or using anything that they have until they get it settled. As to what's his and what's hers.
What's his? You don't know what.
I don't know why he would be enjoined to go into an apartment.
Well, he wouldn't be enjoined somewhere else, but he couldn't take any of that furniture and put it in it.
I guess
well, that's it.
Yeah. Decide what
well, now, he and the boy can't get in the apartment?
Well, I guess the boy could when it's available, which probably would be the first of the month.
Yeah.
And it's a little interim here. He just found this guy who needs a place,
But the boy has the furniture.
But he's got the furniture. So they got two trailer loads of furniture, and some of it's stored back there in Russ's little outhouse, and some's in the basement. So I floss is stuck around in a little bit of everywhere. So she feels she
he and his wife are trying it out.
And that might not last.
And it might not last. She's
and
You're talking about the other fella.
Yeah.
The other fella. Uh-huh.
And Stevie may not have a job, so he may not can pay rent. And so they just don't know which way.
Oh, they pay. It's $180 for the $90 said is what he would pay, you know. He can get out of that.
Well, what apartment is that?
Well, an apartment, I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, even one bedroom apartment's around Oshawa, $150.
Mm-hmm. Two room, they'd have to get two rooms, you know, for the boy to have.
But now this other one, you were saying now they couldn't get in there, so they were just staying with
Stevie. He's taking a law course there. He's taking something, and his wife is a pharmacist in her daddy's drugstore somewhere in North Carolina, isn't it, or something
mm-hmm.
like that. And he's come over there to finish up his law course.
Yeah.
And she won't come over there. She won't come and leave her job.
But the funny thing is Floss has got both of them.
Yeah, well, he's a friend of Steve's.
Well,
Blanche is the same sorority or fraternity. And so Steve's over there and didn't have any home or any place to go and to bring his furniture. He's got some furniture, I guess, of his own or something. Anyway,
he just felt sorry for Steve.
and Steve felt sorry for him to give him a place.
In the meantime...
I don't know. It's just all mixed up. And Fred and Floss is just, I don't know. I don't know.
In the meantime,
trying to stay quiet.
The guy sprained an ankle or broke his leg or did something, and
he's
stuck at the house a lot.
If you get the man out
of the house and let him go on about his job or his schooling and stuff, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But a student with a lame leg or something just sitting in your house. How much do you wait on him? How much do you?
Oh, sadness. Russ says, you're not going to feed him now. You're not going to feed him.
And
she's that type. If you're there, she says, you know, if he's there, well, I just can't go in there and eat and him sitting in the room and in the other room without asking him to come in and eat.
Said,
and Russ, well, you're not going to feed him because,
said,
of course, you're not physically able to do it, running up down the steps on. And
is that particularly good?
Well, it stretches well. You know, it's not a county nose kind of thing. You know, you don't have just one chop of beef.
Oh, I see.
you can dip.
You can't count it so well.
That's right. I've got a, you know,
I
got a pot.
I didn't even get a cup of coffee.
Well, she laughs about it. She was laughing, telling about it, you know. I said, I'm trying to make the best of it that I can. But we had Fanny ask them all to come over Sunday night and have dinner. And said, well, that gives her a good excuse. It gives me a good excuse. I'll be out of the house. We'll be out of the house, you know. I won't be there. And he wants to stay there. Well, all right. And so I told him that the dishes were there and the coffee pot was there.
Well, that's what she should have told you, where the coffee pot was, and you go make your own.
Yeah, you go.
She didn't even do that.
But she says it worries him to see me a fussy man because she isn't well. Flossie isn't well, and he just gets disturbed when she... No, he knows she isn't very well, going up and down the steps.
Well, keeps her from complaining, you see. If she does too much, she complains, then
she just breaks down.
Well, that morning that you spent helping all morning, put in the...
Yeah, that's when we had the cold turkey.
Well, she does a lot of things in town, in Chasboro and Gayton, things like that.
Oh, does she?
Oh, yeah. Lord of mercy. She was asking Martha the other day, Martha Holt, about Andy. When Andy, she could get a hold of Andy, she's got to want to get him to take over some certain Sundays at the church, at the Sunday school. And she was trying to find out that, so she helps to run the Sunday school class and circle class.
And tell them what else she's going to do next year.
Oh, she's going to be president of Fossily.
Fossily?
Fossily.
Good Lord.
And what's she going to do? She's going to dedicate the book to me. And I'll have my picture in the Fossily.
Yearbook.
My yearbook.
Dedicate the yearbook to me.
For Fossily.
And you
my
know what?
Picture will be there. She'll dedicate.
We're
secret up there. We can't tell it up there because she hadn't been thoroughly elected yet.
Thoroughly.
Gone through. But
yeah,
and Sunday night, when she had the family, Fanny had the family all passed. After them instead of telling me that they wanted to make my picture anything for anything separate, you know. Well, bless Patty there. Lenny got his picture make a camera in, you know, and everything. And they wanted me to say, come over and sit over here now. And Aaron was sitting there by me, with me doing a working on a little embroidering she got so interested in that she brought in and was doing. So she was sitting there working, you know, and they said, no, says we want Mamu by ourselves. Well, I didn't know. I just thought, well, they just want to get a picture of me on my 91st birthday. And says, now don't pose or don't do this and that. Well, anyway. And Lenny was up there trying to getting ready to make my picture, you know, and all. They always gonna fix it to come and get in the picture, you know, at first, but then they said, Mamu, that we want her to have a picture made. I didn't know why they wanted it, you know, but they wanted a picture to put in the paper, in the magazine, or the book.
I'll tell you
talking about. Yeah. They want to make a picture so as to have one.
Now, all that
happened
just on the heels of Christmas.
Oh, yeah, this past Sunday night.
Well, how did she get permission to be president of Iceland? Well, Russell didn't mind. He didn't.
He doesn't have any idea what a job that is.
It's a lot of work.
But the amazing thing, the thing that's so cute about all this is that Mamu had on a decent dress, but she had on that little gold locket that you'd given her, you know, and had.
I could have had on a bigger, prettier
and
I could have had.
She didn't know.
I'm just sitting there so relaxed, you know, and I didn't sit up.
Flossie announced why we got the picture like that then. Mamu was so provoked at us because she said I would have put on my best dress and my good jewelry. She was just so put out. And when we got it, got them back the other night and looked at them, she got right up to the screen and she was just so mad at that old dress and that old jewelry, but they're real good.
Yeah, but they're real good. And Lynn, he really made some good pictures. And then he made some of all of them in there. And Donnie's pose was on the floor, you know, like he usually comes in.
Candy
shop. And anything, when he's there, he just lies down. And so does, and Miles was there buying. But it's just so good. And Russ is just sitting up in a chair, just like he was just
looking
like
Paul.
And it looked just like we were all just natural right there. Wow. The pictures are just grand.
They're better.
Every one of them.
Uh-huh.
And that he made that night. And so I didn't know what to do with my hands. I don't know why. What is the matter with me some way or another? And Billy was there, Billy and DeWolf. And Billy says, oh, don't cross your hands. I don't know how I had my hands crossed or anything. But anyway, in one of the pictures, my hand, I'm kind of up that way. Silly thing. But the picture part on me is real good. But the hand. we had a wonderful time.
She told me about this a long time ago.
No,
when
I didn't know.
She first found out about it, and we thought we could take her picture out of the one we had made last year because it was a good picture of everybody. But when we looked at it, Mamu's isn't a good portrait kind that would go in dignified ladies. Also, the yearbook, you know.
Mamu, I'm so impressed.
So
I told
Lenny to see if
organization, the women's organization in Knoxville.
In the South. One of the oldest women's magazines. Yeah.
What was that, Brandon?
I
forget.
And you.
In the picture. You're talking about the picture.
No, I was talking about Mamu and Florence had to hold their ears because the wolf brought in the ocelot, where the ocelot got his name, and it apparently was from an illegitimate child or something. Mamu and Florence said they were not going to have anything to do with that.
Oh,
they didn't even hear that. That was Count Docile, and that's the oldest, most dignified thing. And Mamu, this year's picture was Pauline Anderson's, and they took a real young picture that Pauline had when she must have been in her 30s.
Somebody donated it.
And I know all these little women that get their pictures in there are fancy lit up, but I think Mamu's just going to be real pretty. If it blows up well, when we blow it up and comes that way. Because it's got the flowery background of the thing. I don't know.
I'm sitting on the couch.
If it don't, you'll have to take it down to the photographer
sure.
here.
Sure.
And have a portrait done of her.
Sure, we will.
A slick magazine or newspaper
well,
print made out of it.
Well, you want to have a proper one to go in on.
But we were so afraid to pose her. We were afraid, you know how we got and posed. She gets when she poses.
I like them
pose. You don't like Mamu pose.
I don't like these old candid things with your lips sticking out. You never have your hand up in there.
He always.
I'd rather have them composed than taken pose.
I'd rather have them composed.
You know how every picture he's ever had made,
yeah.
he always has his tongue stuck out. We got some, and
yeah.
we got some like that for you of Christmas,
yeah.
too, that I got him.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. At the table, there's one
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
That he's gotten there. I want you to see yourself. I'm going to send you a print of them.
Well, I thought you'd bring some.
No, we haven't gotten the biggest thing.
I'm not hurting
we haven't gotten any pictures.
But the cutest thing, John Turner's wife, well, Bob, that's Bob's girl. I'll let her tell you.
Well, you think you'll lose anything in Barbara's telling after Faye Faye
was you'll just have to remember to tack it in with these.
Well, that's all our news.
Well, that, I think that's
well,
a big factor.
Well, I can take a week to get over that.
Yeah, I know it. Mamu was so
oh
close.
Oh, my goodness. I am done. Let me see.
Well,
how many parties have we had since Christmas?
Well, you had about 5 birthday parties.
Oh, you mean you've just been having all...
Counting all the people that came in all the time, bringing her things.
Yeah.
Oh.
You had 3 formal ones, I know.
Lord, she began Christmas, and now she's still got it, and she's going to have
one or
some
two
down
years,
here.
Huh?
Yeah. We had an awful nice circle meeting there since Christmas with my circle.
Well, we
and
had leftover food.
It was some of the leftover from the party when you was there. But it was real nice. She added a little more to it. Took a little from it. And then she had some with people, friends, in one morning for something.
Well, you know,
and
I've had...
And then we had 13 for supper Sunday night then. That we had to have, we called that to the family, say Don's family. And we had to have DeWolf and Billy, of course, they're so much family. And Russ and Steve and... Oh, that made 13. We didn't, she just had 12 plates fixed, Franny did. And wasn't sure, and she, neither was Flossie nor Russ said he didn't know Steve was coming. And Russ and Flossie wasn't sure that Faye Francis had told her to bring him, I mean, to come too. She just didn't know whether he was coming or not. Well, he came in, so. We had to put another plate, and he had to put another plate, so that made 13.
And he come in looking a little bit.
He was sad looking, and he went in. Then after Russ and then other, they all went home, and he went in and sat down with in the library with Lynn, and Lynn said he was kind of sad looking. He was kind of sad.
Too much. Coming together.
Well, he just had heard too, a day or two, that he'd lost his job. You know, his job had been.
But he
well,
was doing
it,
so
not
bad.
Only he,
job.
They were, they had take had turned
just
off like 3 of the week or before, and then they turned off another one with him. It wasn't because of no, he really has good rating over the head man told us a good while ago if he had somebody that worked like Stevie did and everything, well, he said he'd really be in business. But as a, as Flossie says, the man who has this, the finance department in there hadn't done anything with it at all. What are you looking at the kid?
Well, I thought it did pretty well.
Hadn't done anything with it. And so Stevie said if he'd worked like Stevie had, why the man, they thought the department would have had enough money to carry it on. So they're thinking maybe they will. Be a grant or something.
I told Brian to that one time.
Well,
but I'll tell you something, Mamu.
Many things going on.
Let me tell you something. You know that all that poison food that your daughter fed to us, as your granddaughter told us, she's killing us. She's feeding us all that rich food up there at Christmas.
All that sweet stuff.
All that sweet stuff. Well, I was a little anemic before I went up to Knoxville.
Oh, that's cold.
I spent $70 trying to find out what made me anemic, and he couldn't. Everything was. Was
he didn't
right.
want to cure her, he wanted to find out what the trouble was.
And he wouldn't
what's
give me
B
vitamins or anything. No, he said, you don't need anything. But I said, I'm still anemic. Yes, he said. Well, I said, I'm going home. He said, well, you go, and when you come back, we'll check you again. So I went in on Tuesday. After I came back, I'm perfectly normal. So Dr. Andrews is going to send all his anemic patients up to you and Fanny to cure them with that poison food. He said so.
Well,
people couldn't make it home, I understand, on the food that he just got through eating.
Well, not I.
Some people don't know what they can't eat.
So much that he couldn't make it home.
And then he's leaving home. He went to the beach and ate oysters and was up all night to the Johnny Vomiting or something and didn't I think he can't get out.
Well, let me tell you, Ms. Elkins down in Chet, wherever it was, I was sitting there eating greens, you know, and down at Johnny Dollar's, and Guy was outside, and we told her this. She came up, she says, is your husband sick? I said, no, he just had too much Christmas. I understand.
Well, it wasn't all the liquid time, wasn't it?
Real record.
I can't live it down.
No, you can't.
It seemed like it's going to get worse than the same Steve.
Oh, me.
The next thing you hear, you're an old toper.
I want to see if Russell can't straighten me out. I have a great deal of confidence in Russell's ability to straighten people out.
He'll try.
Yeah,
Russ says he could usually follow anybody. Said he really could follow, but he said, I just didn't know all the time what he was talking about. I don't know what he was talking about.
I could hear him in the middle of the floor in that formal living room in there. Both of them sitting on the floor.
In fact, they haven't heard Cookie at Sheep Mountain.
No.
Well, I'll have to play it for them.
Sure will.
Oh, me.
They have a feel for Russell, then, won't they?
They know what Russell was talking about.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Flossie and I were upstairs and her bedroom so we could talk. And every once in a while I'd hear a guy say, you follow me?
No, I didn't.
Well, anyway.
We could hear you all laughing.
Just
had a good time.
Well, she's right into, she says, ooh.
It just under my nose really cruises. It just undermined them so perfectly. Russell looked sort of sheepish. He said, people don't always do that way now.
You don't have to go around the world. You can just go to Sheep Mountain.
No, I don't understand. You always keep getting mixed up.
Well, what he's doing now, I says, Russ, did you get all your trees set out, you know? And he says, yeah, so they really finally got them put out. We asked Steve if he'd been having his daddy with a tree, and he said, well, said, no, he'd been shunning that. He'd been keep away from that. But he got him in to help a little, I think. But Russ says, oh, I'm doing something harder than that now. And I said, what's that? He says, well, I'm reworking a suit of furniture. I said, you are? I said, what are you doing there? Where'd you get that or something like that? And he picked it up from some place that he gave. I said, you must have found some good wood. He said, yeah, there's been 3 coats of paint put on this, and said they were about to get it all off and just going to leave it. Said it was right pretty wood, and they're just going to leave it natural. We did awful. A chest and a dresser and a bed and 3 pieces of it. And
everything,
yeah, and he was doing that. And so he said he gave $15 for it. And of course, he'll get it to looking like it's really something. He really does do good work. He really can fixes up things real good. So he said, we're about to get the paint off of it. Now, I reckon maybe they're going to, I don't know where he's going to put it unless he's going to give it to Steve.
That's what I figured.
That's what I imagine. He works over there, so things like that. He picked up something, and they rework it, and then he puts it in these places that he rents, you know, houses he has for rent. And he really gets them fixed up real nice. So he's real handy. But he really has to be doing something. Oh, my.
He does?
Oh, Lord, yeah, really.
Even when he comes home at night.
Oh, yeah, when he comes home, he really has to be working. She gave a talk about the, I don't know, what was it, at the UDC the other day. She invited me to come up, have lunch with them, and she was going to give a talk, she had to have the program. So she gave a talk, and she was kind of going over what she's doing to Russ, and he was listening and all, and he says, well, you know, she says, you know, says it'd be right interesting if I could give the taps, and she wanted to use the taps in some way, and all, and he said, yes. He says, you know, it would be right nice if we could hear the taps. And you know what he did? He went and got them fixed on the tape somewhere and took them up and had them to work it out. Had them played and had them work it out just like he wanted it. And went up to someplace he had to take it up to have it done. So that morning, she was to go in. He says, well, so now you come by this certain place and they'll be ready for you. And he went and fixed them out. Had the tapes blown up. And so she played them then when she ended the program. And they were real nice. He had them put on a tape and blown up, you know. And somebody played them. I don't
That's
know.
What he does on that.
Is that the way he does the things at the office?
That's what he does on those 3-week tours.
On tours.
When he reports on it.
Well, anyway, he went in and she didn't.
For a while, he tried to get the noises over there of the steamship taking off and blowing a whistle and all like that. But then he found the studio had all those things, about everything you'd want.
Mm-hmm.
So
he went and got it all
fixed
up.
The studio.
Well, he's real nice. He's real good to her, you know, when you
if
think
he approves
those things like that.
It. If he approves.
Oh, yes, if he approves of anything.
This is going to be a glorious year for us.
Well, don't you know it is.
That's the innovation there that ain't ever in the world.
She's
yes, sir.
She'll be good.
she'll be good and she'll have some ideas. And if it's Russell will maybe like this. And he stayed and listened to be sure that the taps came in on time and was loud enough.
He didn't leave until he saw that they were wanted them.
And
she played them real soft. She had them played real soft and they were real attractive. Ended up her speech real, real well. Well, she thought, and so I.
Mamu's gonna have a good year.
What kind of changes would you anticipate?
But it'll be good.
Well, she put things into it that they haven't had before.
It'll be dramatic, and it'll be loud enough for the little lady.
It'll be loud enough. She's got a good voice, and the half of the presidents and the other people that speak don't. Should talk loud enough for anybody to hear. They'll say, I didn't hear any of that. That I guess it was good or something like that. And the president they have this year don't talk real loud. You can't hear. And they had one man the other day. They've got a amplifier thing that it can use. And they asked him if he would if he liked it. You know, wanted it. And so he says, began talking, and he says, can you all hear me? He says, I don't like to use this, and if you can hear me. So, and he didn't talk loud either. And there was a thing right there that he could stood under and talk.
Sort of disgusting when you don't talk out where you can hear.
Well, what's the use to have anything if they can't hear it?
Well, you raise your hand and say it can't hear you.
Well, some mama will, and some mama is so embarrassing that
you. What do you say, Frank?
Some mama's so tender.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Well, hell, I didn't think Oxley was a home place for timid souls. I thought they were all pretty outspoken. I got the wrong idea?
Oxley has all kind of meetings. Everything,
yeah.
Speakers, does lots of good. Sends clothes to the mountain people.
I'm surprised that Russell was willing for her to do it.
He's given pictures. He's shown some of his pictures several times.
Oh, I see. That's a good outlet for his pictures.
Well, don't you tell. Yeah, he's shown of his trip. And listen, Flossie has been instrumental in getting members to go on that trip.
Oh.
Through that, there's been a lot of Mosley and a lot of her friends. She's helped to really get up that trip, too.
Osley people go on that trip, too.
Oh, Osley, anybody you can get to go on it, you pay for it for going on the trips. And and a lot of her UDC people have been on those trips. And she's been instrumental in getting a whole lot of the trips up. Women.
I thought it was mostly the doctors and real estate people.
I just nearly died. The other day I was reading some Francis Bacon, by golly, and right down in the very middle of it, it was something about there's really nothing that man thinks about nearly so much as whether the innards are too loose or too bound up, and I just nearly died. It hasn't changed a bit.
Hey, you know me, and you run across that Francis Bacon. Well, I'll tell you. Let me tell you about people on traveling. Let me tell you, it would be worth your while to invite him. I forget his name, Doctor Mr. Slimmons. And that's a little bit odd, isn't it? Just invite him over there, and I think on almost any occasion he'd get off on allied subjects. I bet you. And he is right humorous. He's good natured, He's not throwing off on them.
No.
But his assumption is that they don't need the doctor. They just come to talk a little.
Well, we read a lot about that next that the women come to see the doctors to get somebody to listen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In the magazines?
Yeah, and psychology, psychiatry.
Yeah.
A big part of it is people that get hipped on that they got something wrong with them.
Yeah.
And it's because maybe they're having trouble at home, or
yeah,
they're all frustrated and can't express themselves, or something happened.
But when it boils down, it's usually just bowels.
Yeah.
Well, I remember one time somebody said to Hazel Hutchinson, "Well, you live in an ivory tower. You're just a poet." And she said, "I have you know something." Her father had lived with him. So he died. For the last 10
years. So you're going to have to get your scraping going now.
For the last 10 years of my father's life, I was interested only in bowel movement.
Mm-hmm. Well.
I'll get this onion smell.
Well, yes, it's smelling terrible here.
Goodness. You want me to save
good.
That? That piece of meat, do save it. Don't waste it.
I can see how it'd be right interesting to be close to things like that. And Flossie will tell you what happens.
That's
one nice
right.
thing about it, isn't it?
She's a pretty good relater, too.
That's one of Flossie's problems. She will tell you.
Yeah.
Not on the youth. All right. Well, I don't.
You pass it around.
Yeah.
Well.
She's real. You know, I treat her just like I treat her worse than I do my own sister. That's pretty bad. But I treat her just like a sister. And worse than
you
would
tell
her. Treat her. Uh-huh. But she was in the other day, and she had gone up to Marstown to make a little talk up there at the country club. At one of the meetings, and so when it was over, people came up to tell her what a good thing it was, and two of the ladies that came up to talk to her were two people who had been down to the wedding, and were good friends of Choya's side of the family, I mean of the friends. Well, they said, we remember you from the wedding, you know, and we were at the wedding, it was so pretty and everything. How are they getting along? Well, Flossie said, "I just wasn't going to stand up there and not say something." So she says, "I just said, well, it is simply a matter of too much interference from her family."
Yeah, they were
and she said, "I came home and told Stevie and said, Stevie just jumped all over me. He said, Mother, you should not have said that." And she said, "I know I shouldn't have, but that is the truth. Her family just had broken this up. If it hadn't been for her family, everything would have been all right." I said, "Florence, that's the worst thing I ever heard of in all my life. You should not have said that." Well, she says, "That's what Stevie said, but she said it's truth." I said, "Yeah, but if they had asked her family, then they could have said, well, it's his family that's broken us up." Mother said, "But that's not true." And I said, "Well, it could have been true from the way they thought about it, you know." Oh, bless her little heart, her little face just clouded over. She just, you know.
I don't see how she loves God at all. She just.
Flossie?
Yeah. She just. Franny just cuts her off. I know how she feels because Franny sometimes cuts me off.
I got used to that a long time ago.
And Jimmy knows, too. She just cuts us down, don't she, sometimes? Well, I'm kind of used to it, too. But poor. Yeah.
I have different ways of handling it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some parallel to that, where you just have to say something. I can't remember what it was. It seemed like something came out about that during the Christmas. I can't remember. Isn't that awful when you got something right on the tip of your tongue?
And then it slips away from you. Yes, it is.
Well, you know, she won't.
You don't need all of these.
You don't have to say. You don't blame it on the in-law.
No.
They just didn't
well,
make it.
Well, she
they,
shouldn't
you know,
have, but it just came to her, and it was just the main thing.
Right on,
exactly
the
way she feels about it. That's the way she feels about it, and it's sounds very much like it's the truth.
Well, I'd say it's a two-way street, man.
There's always two sides.
Well, there's two ways to it, I say too, but...
I think if that couple had gone to New Orleans or Houston, Texas or somewhere away from both families, they'd got...
Both families, they should
right.
have done it.
That's right.
And they should have lived there too.
Did you hear Russell tell that? We were out putting up that little boundary, the little hedge.
I turn out that light. You don't have.
You're not hurting the thing, ma'am. At least that one. And the dogs were barking a little bit over there. Faye, don't turn off everything. You can't see.
Well, I thought maybe one of them would be.
Well, they're not hurting, ma'am. She's looking this way.
Well,
he
And. He said that the boundary dispute had been pretty sharp. But he didn't go into the details of it. But this time he said they brought a dog up there one night. They brought in a dog for breeding. And it was just an old stray dog, but it looked like it. I mean, it wasn't a purebred dog. And they put it in the pen on his side of the house. And it barked all night. And the next morning he went over there and he just put that shotgun under his arm, and he says, "Are you going to keep that dog quiet, or you want me to?"
Yeah.
Did you hear him tell that?
I think I heard you.
I hadn't heard that.
That the by door. Now that's about as direct as you can get, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he said the lady took him right up on it. She said she went right out there and quieted the dog.
Well,
where did he get all those guns?
Well,
he's a collector. If you can get by those introductions of Russell, you might survive. But don't ever let him introduce you, Ella. I'm telling you.
He does everything that way. But he's been very successful. He's done a real good job. He's in the right profession out there. There's a TV.
Yeah.
Selling advertising.
Yeah.
He knows how to wine and dine those people. And how to get them sold on WATE.
Yeah.
Well, now Flossie says that the job is just pays the bills.
What do they do for the entertainment?
That's not what he likes to do. He likes to get these trips up. He likes to, you know, get projects going and doing those kind
rather
of things.
Rather than his regular job.
Oh, it's really right boring to him.
You mean the advertising?
Mm-hmm. This is, you know, I mean, after all, it's
lots of fun to analyze other people.
Well, that's what Flossie says.
Well, I'm just thinking about
it. Doesn't
I'm just thinking about all of us here, how we analyze
but it
people.
Doesn't challenge him.
Well, Russell is this type of fellow. I want to go ahead with this analysis we're doing here. He likes to do a job and move on to another one.
Yeah.
He likes to finish this project, put it in a little ontology, you know, put it in a little basket and seal it off.
Well, Elf, I think that analysis of yours would pass St. Peter. And no exception would be made. I don't believe even Russell could take exception to that.
Well,
I tell you what, I went out with him on his rounds one day. I didn't propose to, and I said, you go ahead, I'll just stay here. No, he wanted to go. And that's the reason he was going, partly for me to go. And the one place he went, that as I thought about it later, I wished he had made connections, the man who collects the rents for him.
Yes.
Because he gave me the reasoning for that, and I don't think a man with that perseverance that he talked about would make a go of it. He got to have something. Perseverance is very, very minor quality, you see. And his terminology is not up to the man. And after he told me all the things he did, I just wished that I had run into him.
he went back to see him. He looked to me like he's a little bit more on the order of Phil Patterson. That's my friend over here.
I remember him.
And Phil, you see, had that gift of, just by that mean look in his eye, of getting a drop on you, to where he didn't need to knock the hell out of you. And he did it all through malice. He knew what he was doing. It was planned.
Full of thought, huh?
Oh, yes. And he did it with a good sense of humor, too. And I tell you, he worked it on me a time or two. So I appreciated it. You know, I used to think he was so pompous, so... Come in there talking that old Georgia talk, you see, and you couldn't hardly understand what he's talking about. And I thought, well, Lord, I wish Phil would go on and let me talk to Miss Patterson a little bit. And it took me a long time to find out that he was the one. I'm telling you, he's rich. Yes, he's one of the richest I ever saw. And that's, you see, I have goofed and miscalculated so much that I'm on my good behavior, and I don't jump at those conclusions as much as I used to once again. I'd like to see that.
Going back to Russ now. I remember when he first got through school and he took a job with the Veterans Administration. He was shy.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
came to me and talked to me about taking a job with the Chamber of Commerce. Well, I thought he'd be a lost ball in high weeds when he got into that job. But he took that thing and he did a better job than anybody had ever had it before.
Yeah.
But he got tired of it after a while and he's ready to move on to something else. Then he got into the television work and he has had several angles to it to where it's kept him interested.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of ability. No question about that. He can do things.
Well, he's before the public all the time.
Yeah. He was in our wise men's club down to Y for a little while. And he got through with that right quick and got something else. He moves from place to place. He likes to finish things.
Now, Francis, that's one thing that you look at Russell and talk to him around. That's one thing you never be expect, that he would be a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's good. Oh.
He can preside and do a good job.
Preside.
Yeah.
He led the YMCA campaign one year for members and did a wonderful job on it.
Yeah.
But when he got through that place, he was through.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come back to Y anymore after that. He'd reached the top the way he thought about it. And hunt new fields, which is all right, I guess.
What was you told me why he had this collector guy. Well, some. Well,
why he does why?
Oh, this man.
Oh,
that collect.
Well, he had him to collect because he collect. He didn't want to do it himself.
Well, he was giving him a space, wasn't he, for doing that for him, a place to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which Gene Mundy does that right along. He's got over 500 places.
Uh-huh.
And he's got quite a few of them that he has people to handle that way.
Yeah.
Seems to be a real good method. These handy people.
Does his son far off in like that? Does he do anything of that kind? Does he look after any of his daddy's
work?
Money?
Yes. Yes, he's got three sons, and all of them work with him.
That Gene Young, you call him,
yeah,
the young
Gene,
one that
young
works
one.
With
that's
the
right.
Y.
Gene and Jimmy and Bobby, all of them work with him, and they're from Don's age on down, about three or four years, two or three years apart, and none of them have ever married.
Is that right?
Uh huh. They have their close knit family. They live at home. They have a. They took a boat. And took it all the way down to the Gulf.
Uh-huh.
Went down all through all the locks, you know, into the Ohio River and then down to the Mississippi and on down.
Yeah.
I'll have to stand up for Flossie. She sure stands up for me.
Oh,
she does.
She does.
Mamu.
And she's going to get you and dedicate Osley's yearbook to you. And that's
my
more
picture
I've ever
dedicated.
Done.
No, it's not me dedicated. I got her in, you see.
Yeah.
I sponsored her, and I, to save my life, I can't remember who the other sponsors were. I've tried to think. She's tried to think, too, and I can't think of it.
Isn't it funny, you know, being the chairman or the president of the, or even the vice president, anything, just absolutely leaves me.
It just leaves you cold.
Everybody has chances to do things like that. And Flossie just thrives.
Just thrives with it.
And
mm-hmm.
she's good at it.
She's been doing something. She's a good worker. She's really, and you can depend on her. You can just depend on her for anything.
Well, she has ideas, and then she has the ability to get other people
to work with her. And she
get
really does.
Well,
I just, you know, I go practically blank on trying to get approvals for
uh-huh.
a whole year or get things
uh-huh.
done or
uh-huh.
plan things for you.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, we used to say that she was in a way a good teacher. If you meant by good teacher, then what she could write down, she could get over to the students. Now, as far as she herself knew, would be obvious. But if she knew something, she would dent it into those students' heads until they got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she would put it in a form that they could get it.
Well, she knows that UDC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, and all the members think she really knows
really
it.
UDC? UDC?
Mm.
And she
UDC?
Brings it to the...
She knows all about that. Russ said the other day that he went to one of these things where they're on a state level. And every time they call the roll, that you got up and, you know...
And she answered.
And everything that was available, she belonged to. And that she was the only one in the whole audience, he thought, that stood up every time an organization was mentioned. And she knows the function of the procedures and the reasons why of the government of each one of these organizations, what they're all about. And I don't know where she got that kind of brain.
Well, she studies it. She really studies it.
This is fine. I just don't understand. She could go around and teach each chapter of the DAR what it's all about and how they ought to keep their books and when they ought to get all their things in and what the meaning of all these things are. She just has memorized it. And she can separate the Huguenots and the Daughters of 12 from the UDCs and the DARs, and they're all different. I don't know where she got that kind of
life. Well, now you know it doesn't come hard, or she wouldn't do it.
She's always had a good memory. You know, she was always
she's got a good memory. Pretty good.
No, I didn't know that.
I went to the other day.
She said more little poems on the stage as a child growing up and carried right on in through the drama in the university. She was in a lot of the plays. She's on stage all the time.
That's it.
She loves to be dramatic.
Oswald
would be dramatic this year. She really will.
Oh, that's what you meant.
The most fun she ever had in her life was playing in a play on the stage in the university with a swinging cape flowing around, you know, and just being dramatic. She just loves it. And she projects, you know, she loses herself in it. And it's not, she's not embarrassed about it. She just loves it, you know. So.
Well, I didn't realize that.
But she can memorize anything. Pearlie could. Edith couldn't. But Pearlie could. Pearlie was always on stage.
Mm,
and Pearlie forgot a line. Pearlie could make it up until something happened. And I don't know whether Flossie is that good or not, but Pearlie has never been at a loss to make up what came next and make it come out right. She had a lot of presence on stage.
And Edith is a boss from another way. I don't know how she can take
it. But Flossie's got the prettiest brain I nearly ever heard of.
What did Edith do, man?
Jesus, sweet.
He just runs the whole family, doesn't he?
Well, they are all three fine girls.
You mean she can do something that they can't do?
Yeah. Yeah, Edith can boss Pearlie or Florence.
Oh, can she?
Edith, Florence Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, she can boss her. She can tell if it's not right and it is right.
But Florence will go right ahead
and do it. Yeah, boy.
Well, I noticed she had a right straight manner of speaking.
Mm, she really had.
Well, when Troy and Steve first married, Edith came over there, and Pearlie both. Edith told me for the express purpose of getting Flossie straight about what she and Russ would have to do in order for the children to live together. And that was to stay out of their way. And Edith told me that she spent all of two nights, the whole night long, talking to Flossie. And she said, I don't think I got anywhere, but I've said my piece.
Well,
I'll tell you right now, Flossie got her right into the...
Well, I'm sorry.
Ocelyn got her right into the UDCs and the DARs. Got her right accepted into everything.
Flossie did?
Got choice. She paid for her initiation. She paid for...
Now she's embarrassed.
And embarrassed. And now then...
Why is she gonna come?
And she paid for all of her lunches when she went out to dinner with her. She really did sponsor her. What a mother-in-law should do on the outside, I don't know.
Well, now you can't beat that, Florence. I mean,
she certainly did. Sponsor her every way she could.
Well, I know that.
And she invited everything she had to her house. And she'd tell her, Troy would say, yes, I'll be there. And one time it was one of the big to-dos that they would have in one of the organizations. People from all over the just states all out of in big held big offices and things, and just something to do out to her house, and she wanted her to come over and kind of help her. No, and she promised that she would, that she'd be there. Well, what did she do the next morning? It's time for my old to get there and everything. Troy went fishing. Her mother wanted to go fishing, and she went fishing with her mother. And so you left Flossie out. Flossie had to ask some of her friends in to come help. Well, that wasn't the only one on time she ever did anything. But of course, she wanted to show off that day because Troy was a pretty good show off.
The trouble with this marriage was that our parishes interfered too much.
But I don't know how many other times Flossie was going to do something in the. That mother or the daddy took her out to...
One or the other.
Took her somewhere.
Even to Arkansas.
Even took her to Arkansas, and she stayed over, and Stevie had to come back home by herself.
Poor little thing.
She had to stay over there and help her father bale hay all day. And they baled about, let me see, how many, 500 bales of hay were. One morning.
And they brought back a side of beef and 500 pounds and put them in the freezer. And when they got divorced, she went over and got all the meat from the freezer and left the freezer.
Yeah, he went and bought the
freezer.
To buy
the
freezer
to hold
the meat.
So then there was the freezer in the house. I bet you, I don't know how they've gotten by with this, but Russell went over and got the freezer and took it over to his house.
Well, he'd borrowed money from you to buy something. I don't know.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That's probably the reason it's enjoined, that they don't go in and take anything else out of the apartment.
That's right. Well, it's both of them.
Why, sure, it ought to.
They don't just enjoin Russell, do they?
I don't think Russell enjoined them back.
Now, let me see. There was something about that apartment. When she went in the hospital, her mother wanted home, so Florence took her all of her gowns. She took her some gowns and
a gown,
a robe
all
and some house
magic.
And
what else did she take?
In one of her little suitcases.
Well, then when the hospital was over and they got all this bust up, she ran into him at a voting one day, and there was Choya on the crutches and the mother and the daddy and everybody oohing and on over, and face to face they met. And somehow or another, Florence got it out to the mother, should I come and get my gown and my little case? Choya had the hospital. Mother said, no, I'll send it to you. Well, weeks went by, and finally they decided to move Choya's things out of the apartment and told, well, that was it. And Florence says, you better go to that apartment and find out, you know, what's left over there. You know, they were supposed to take everything out of the apartment. And she said, when Russell went over there, there was my dressing case and my gown and my robe and everything just left with the junk. And they left all that junk over there. They brought it all home, and he said it wasn't junk at all. It was just good stuff. It was the stuff they had paid for.
The best of times.
Yes, sir. And so that was kind of hard to come by. I think that your best gown and your robe and your eyes, you was going to be the joint and left it over.
Oh, he says, I didn't want my cosmetics and all that stuff that I took over there. And I waited
nothing
on them for a whole week over there in their house, too. Says, I sure waited on that woman, and said, she said herself, says, I did better than, as well as my mother could have done. And says, I was glad to
and
do it. I cooked for
her.
Did everything that I could and went to the hospital and stayed.
Well, what can you do about it?
And so did Ross.
Well, I don't know, but I just, you know, Ross, I was over there with her, and I never saw such smooching going on, and bless this little girl, you know, and all this, and the next day. That's the stinkiest little girl I ever saw. She just lies up the story, you know. I just don't know. It's just, you know, it's just pretty sad. It just ought not to be that way.
No.
It ought to be like Wade and what is his wife. Let her live upstairs and live downstairs. I mean, I'm sorry. You're going to face them.
Uh-huh.
I just don't want Clarkie to get to this place. You know, you got to. You just can't run around blaming all these things. You just have to. It didn't work out,
right.
So okay. Sure, it didn't work out. Of
course, it's fresh in her mind.
Well, it really is.
Smarts a little.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, Francis, when you get up in the world like that and then things like this happen to you,
Well, he called out there. He's trying to get us to come to some conclusion of what to do or when to do it.
Yeah.
He called out there the other day.
He had to get the standards at a certain place. It's hard to do it again.
He can't get it to say anything. So when, but she's able to go up and get therapy.
Well.
She talked to him.
Oh, well.
Well, I don't know that.
Well, what would you give me to be the dishwasher tonight?
Oh, my goodness.
That's my usual occupation.
Mm-hmm. It
hadn't
rained here today.
Not a drop.
100%.
Well, we thought it had
all day, and it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow.
Oh,
bye.
You see,
oh,
says
it had rained all day.
Haven't you seen the weather map?
Mm-mm.
Well, the whole country's wet except this southeast. You know,
just this little corner down here.
This corner.
I saw the curve coming in.
Well, that's it. It's been that way for.
It quit down around Atlanta.
It's been that way a week.
Is that right?
And in the morning, it's fog's so thick you can't see up until the middle of the morning.
Oh, the fog.
Oh, forget to drive. And
well, you know, it's that gulf there.
We got to,
where
was it? It was so foggy.
Well, you mean it's
Georgia.
Going to be thick enough to cut after a while?
It's
comes
dark.
In every night?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And now this morning it was gone by about 9:30, but lots
it's
of mornings.
It's not thick enough to be dangerous, I don't
lots
think.
Of mornings it's until 10:30. Mm-hmm. Pretty thick.
Just so
real
foggy?
Thick.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, it was foggy all the way.
Well, when we turned in the gravel there, I said, by God, it rained either today or last night because the road looked packed, you know, kind of dark like, and I thought, well, sure, it is, right?
We've had 4 or 5 inches of rain within a month, that's a great deal, especially in the winter, you know.
Oh, the frogs sound so good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll grant a walk.
Why'd you do that?
I think we will.
I was visiting you, we'll take a walk.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we were thinking about Flossie.
Well, Flossie knows I love her.
Sure.
You got any oranges? You got grapefruit.
I just love to see Flossie perform. I could just sit back and watch her. I think partly she does it well, but then she seems to enjoy it.
She always loves Flossie.
But don't put me in Brother Hillis's class. Not with those introductions.
All of the two people. Well, he certainly was. Russ was really a fine person. He certainly had faith in capital. He really did.
Yeah. Have you got room for that old box? You might want to make it.
Well,
you can practice singing here without getting sticky. I don't think
you see, Francis, this is what I came to East Tennessee for in December. I thought we'd just sit around and I'd listen to the idle conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got off on all these projects of mine, and I just wore myself out. Ate myself to death and wore myself out.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Didn't get in on anything.
When there's 13 or 15
running around, you don't get into idle conversation.
But guys, that's what he came up for, to get out and sit around and just listen to talk while we just was in there, and anybody that came in just be available, and somebody coming in, a good father time.
Somebody's coming in a lot of the time. Well, of course that was unusual though, that week, you know, we were just all kind of going around, I'd say.
Well,
and we were so happy that you were there and everybody else.
Well, I don't think you've done too much or anything like that, but I didn't plan on doing anything except what the rest of you did. Well, and the way it turned out, I didn't do anything you all did except eat supper.
Well, now you went out to with some of your friends there that we didn't do.
Well, you see, I got off on my own projects, and I didn't get in on in the rest of them.
Time to over on 1600, and the end of this evening after supper with their first evening here with Shug and Fanny and Mamu. This Friday after supper, the 31st of January, 75. Channel 2 over, around 1600. The end of this first visit with Shug and Fanny and Mamu. This Friday after supper, the 31st of January, 75.